Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Faithful prayer, praying in faith. Words from the letter of James, chapter 5 and verse 13, from the epistle reading for today, read to us by Geraldine this morning. And verse 16 says to us, "The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective." The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. The passage of Scripture on which we are reflecting today is at the end of the book of James. This book is considered by many theologians to be the most practical of all the epistles. It provides guidelines for Christian conduct, and James emphasizes that our works as Christians reveal who we are. And several scholars have noted that a close reading of the book of James reveals that he begins and ends with a focus on prayer. Could this be a signal to us that the most important Christian activity is prayer? If we were to look closely at the beginning of the book of James, we would realize that in James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8, we are reminded to pray with unwavering faith. And the passage that was read today, which is at the end of the letter of James, encourages us as Christians to pray for each other and to help each other remain faithful to God. So this passage of Scripture is most relevant today, as we have been focusing on who we are and what we do here at St. George and Young as part of the body of Christ. And you might recall that 2 weeks ago, Chip reflected on stewardship and the body of Christ. Last week, Mark challenged us to look at ourselves with our many gifts and areas of ministry that must work together for the church to function. Last week, the parish also sponsored a ministry fair to showcase opportunities for Christian service in the parish. So this week, the reading from James is quite compelling as it looks at fervent prayer, which is an essential building block of the Christian life. It is essential in what we do as Christians. For although we are blessed with diverse gifts and exercise our ministry differently, we are all brought together by some common practices. So, in a recent book by the former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, and it's called Being Christian, for any of you who would like to have a look at it, Rowan Williams suggests this, and I quote, "There's a variety of Christian thinking and practice about all kinds of things, but these four basic activities have remained indispensable for the majority of those who call themselves Christians." He was referring to baptism, Bible study, participation in the Eucharist, and most importantly, prayer. And he referred to them as the four recognizable things that make us realize that we are all part of a Christian community. So prayer then is a foundational practice that keeps us together as the body of Christ. and it is the most effective resource for the Christian. Nevertheless, the human tendency is to see prayer as a last resort when everything else has failed, isn't it? Now, we are aware that God's power is far greater than human capabilities. So it is wise for us to depend on God and to have prayer as our first response as opposed to our last resort. I would imagine that for many here today, your rhythm of prayer fits naturally into your daily activity as you have developed the discipline and routine of talking with God in a structured and systematic way. And we can learn much from a rule of life embraced by those who follow a strict routine of prayer, like the monastics. But my guess is that there are many among us today who are also struggling with our prayer life due to circumstances like our busy schedule, uncertainty about what to say to God, misconceptions or misunderstanding of what prayer is, or perhaps our own feeling of unworthiness. The good news, though, is that despite all of our limitations, prayer remains the bridge that keeps us connected to God. And James reminds us of common everyday occurrences which might guide us to a conversation with God. James advised members of the Christian community to take everything to God in prayer and to seek God in times of suffering and illness, in times when sin has led us astray, or when members leave the church, and we can go on and on of opportunities to have a conversation with God. This advice is still relevant to us today. Furthermore, James's letter also reminds us of circumstances and rituals associated with prayer. And they're all familiar to us here today because we participate in them on a regular basis. And I would venture to say that they're perhaps part of the Anglican DNA, aren't they? What he was referring to would be opportunities where we sing praises. And this is present in our corporate worship every Sunday, and perhaps at other times and on an individual basis, where we intercede, where we have intercessions and prayers of the people, including prayers for the sick and the souls of the faithful departed. And of course, we also confess our sins during worship and greet each other with the peace of the risen Christ. And thirdly, we participate in anointing, which is a standard practice in this parish on the first Sunday of every month. And prayers and anointing are also available on request. Needless to say, we are reminded that the oil used in anointing is a symbol of the presence of God, and this tradition of anointing could be traced as far back to the Old Testament and the anointing of kings in Scripture. So, in general, prayer may include common prayer as part of a faith community, meditation, a regular personal routine, or perhaps extemporaneous prayer. But I would imagine that if we were to take a poll of parishioners today, we would get so many different responses about our personal prayer life, don't you think? One thing I'm fairly certain of, though, is that one of the common threads for most of us would be the inclusion of the Lord's Prayer in our devotions. The Lord's Prayer that is widely used in Christian worship is from Matthew, chapter 6. And this is combined with a modified last line from an early Christian document called the Didache. However, a precise version of the Lord's Prayer is found in Luke. And the core of this prayer begins by offering praise, and then it includes four requests. The first is for provision. Secondly, we ask for forgiveness. Thirdly, we ask for direction. And fourthly, we ask for protection. And this prayer is in general use, and many consider this to be a template on which many of us build our devotions. This prayer goes back from Jesus' earthly ministry, and Jesus used this as a way of teaching his disciples how to pray. They needed to learn how to pray, and we also need to learn how to pray. Now, there are some who would suggest that prayer should be straight from the heart and to let the Holy Spirit guide us. So the question of the proper way to pray is as relevant today as at the time of Jesus' earthly ministry. Nevertheless, the essence of the Lord's Prayer is timeless, as we recognize that the purpose of prayer is to acknowledge God as we give him all the honor and all of the praise. With reverence, we come before God with a humble, lowly, and contrite heart. And Saint Benedict, the founder of the Benedictine order of monastics, articulated that view so well in his rules, and I just wanted to quote a short part of it. And I quote, "Whenever we want to ask some favor, we do it humbly and respectfully, for fear of presumption. How much more important, then, to lay our petitions before the Lord God of all things with the utmost humility and sincere devotion." End of quote. So that's a short excerpt from Benedict. So the question arises, when should we pray? Prayer should be our first response, as we've already alluded. We've already alluded to this. Prayer should be a first response and not a last resort. How should we pray? Prayers of faith are answered if it is God's will. So we come to God with reverence and adoration, understanding that it is completely up to grace, mercy, and will of God. Why should we pray? Prayer is really intended for regular fellowship with God and to strengthen our relationship with him. And as Christians, prayer is the foundation on which we build our lives. So like any other foundation on which we build, we had better get it right as we pray on our own and unite with others in prayer. Yes, my friends, the words of the letter of James are quite profound as he challenges us to be a church community where we are open about how we are doing, where those who are suffering may request prayers and anointing, and where we are a true supportive community of faith, a kind of community relying on the grace, mercy, and will of God. For the God we serve is a God of providence, and we can expect him to provide for us day by day. He is a God of grace and mercy. He is kind and forgiving, and he expects us to treat others the same. So finally, faith in action. Let's show what we believe. And this is really the challenge of the book of James, which emphasizes faithful prayer as we maintain God's presence in our lives. And God's presence in our lives allows his power to work in and through us. James 5, verse 16. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. James reminds us. or as the Message Bible puts it, the prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. And so the theme of the book of James is highlighted in the reading for today, urging us to put our faith into action, living as children of God, forgiving others as we are forgiven, while bringing the glory of God into the world. My sisters and brothers in Christ, these thoughts I share with you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.